to Sandra True, Get Real Parental Coaching. And I have to apologise for the way I'm speaking because I've got this head cold and my whole nose is blocked up. But never mind, listen, the show must go on. So today I've got Coach Childs. He is a counsellor, a mentor, a male champion and a trainer of positive masculinity and intentional fatherhood. Obviously, he's a dad and we're going to talk to him about his role within his community and also as a dad. So welcome to the show, Coach. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you, Sandra. Pleasure to have me on your show.
Oh, you're welcome. Of course. So first of all, if we could just talk about what you do in terms of, because obviously you're a counsellor and a mentor. And I know when we spoke before, you were talking about going into schools and things. Do you want to expand on that, about what you do and why you do that?
So firstly, I want to say that I'm a counselor by profession and a father of three wonderful children, two girls and one boy. And I'm speaking to you from the best country in Africa called Kenya. Yeah, so I'm blessed. And one of the things which I want to do before I die is I want to be a blessing. I want to use the time that God will allow me to live to touch a life.
I love that.
And the reason being is where we are going, I will not be able to do that. I will not be able to help a person who is less fortunate. I will not be able to encourage someone who is down. I will not be able to be a good father where we are going, especially being a Christian, we are heading to heaven. But I know I will not do that. So I want to use this time to be a blessing, not only to my own family, but to the people whom God will bring my way. Because obviously I will not help anybody. I will not help everyone. But the few that God will allow me to cross my path as long as I'm alive is to be a blessing to them. And I want to take you back to 1999. And I remember I was in Form 2 and I confessed that I want to be a counselor.
Oh, wow. So you knew from way back then that you wanted to help people, basically.
Yes, I had an inherent desire to be a blessing. And I was looking for a profession or a career that will equip me enough so that I will be able to be a blessing. Because, you know, a talent is something raw. Unless you transform it into a finished product, it may not be a blessing. Yeah, just like a tree, God bless us with a tree, but it is us to use our heads to transform a tree into a piece of wood.
Of course.
So when I realized I have this God-given talent and grace and passion to be a blessing, I said, which profession will be able to add value to this talent into a finished product so that I can be a blessing? And it is one of the careers which I was able to pursue after university. Yeah, so after I got a job, I also, after graduated in 2010, by God's grace, I started working in a field which is away from what I studied in the university. And I started working with men so that, and boys, so that they can be champions for the rights of girls and young women. I didn't know that was the direction God wanted me to take. And I can say since then, that has been the desire to work with men. And currently, I'm running an initiative in Kenya that is working with men and boys. And we are working with fathers so that they can be intentional in their role, be close to their children. And we normally say the greatest present you can give to your children is your presence.
I love that.
Yeah, because as long as I'm alive at the moment, while I will be gone, other people can give my children other things, but they cannot give my presence.
Yes, 100%. And I just want to go back to, obviously, you had this desire to be this counsellor from way back when, and you obviously made it into the field because you're, you know, fully pledged counsellor now. So let's just put ourselves in this picture. So you're with the dads and you're with the boys. What kind of discussions are coming up with boys and fathers?
So one thing that has stood out in my interaction with men and boys is that we as men, we don't want to be known. We want to be a gentleman. Even if I'm going through a turbulent moment, and I asked a father or a boy, how are you? He says, I'm okay. So most of the time, we don't want to be known. In other words, we are trying to hide especially our weaknesses. And it dates back to the Garden of Eden. You remember? It dates back to the Garden of Eden, where after Adam messed up, he was able to hide himself. And God came and asked him, where are you? So that is why one of the challenges reaching out to men is we are not free. Even myself as a man, sometimes I struggle.
Yes.
To be free to someone.
And why do you think that is though?
I think it also boils down to our socialization. As men, even me, because I grew up in a patriarchal society, we are told as men, you are not supposed to show your weaknesses. You are supposed to suck it up, even if it means you are not feeling okay. The society is telling you to be stoic, to hide your negative emotions. And one of the emotions that society allows men to display is anger. The society have no problem when you're angry, but when you show weakness.
I love that. That is such a good point. Such a good point. It's like the whole society is angry. They don't want happiness. They don't want tears of joy. They just want anger.
Yeah.
That is such a good point. And I suppose it's ways of getting around that. How can we change that as a community? How can we have a different perspective on how we look at men or how men can be themselves?
So one of the things, what like to give myself as an example, I tend to think when God created us to express our emotions, one of them is tears. And I normally say tears are the blood of an emotional wound. An emotional wound. If you are wounded emotionally and you cry, you are cleaning that. You are removing that toxic substances inside of you. But the society is telling us, even when you are hurt, you are not supposed to cry. Meaning what? The wound that is inside me will continue becoming septic.
Yes.
So one of the things that we tell men is when you cry and when you show you feel vulnerable, it doesn't make you less of a man.
Yes, 100%.
It doesn't. When I say, for example, as a man, I tell my wife I am overwhelmed, that I am stressed, I am depressed, it doesn't make me less of a man. I remain a man at the end of the day. So when we tell this man that it kindly, when you are going through, especially from the perspective of a counselor, share the pain that you are going through. And you know, when you share, you feel relieved.
Yes.
Yeah. So even when it's come to boys, we tell them the definition of a man 20 years ago is not working now. For example, previously, the man was the main provider, the man bringing home the book. But as we stand now, Sandra, the mother or the woman is bringing in the pick.
Yes, and that even goes, certainly during lockdown, statistics show that 80% of women was the main breadwinner during lockdown. So I haven't looked at them recently, but that's a big percentage. I know in a lot of families that continued after lockdown because it worked well for that particular family.
So I remember even one of the examples I normally give to the men that I work with is that there was a time I came out, I lost a job. And I was working in an organization where I was earning good salary. And now your children have gotten used to an upbringing that is good. You are not struggling. And now you are coming home as the head of the family and you don't have the money. So I remember one of the things I told myself, though I may not be providing always, divinely, I'm the head of the family. So I remember one incident, the gas got depleted and my wife wasn't at home and we had to refill the car cylinder. So, you know, as a man, to ask your wife, I need some money to refill the gas, it was a tall order. But they had no choice because life must go on.
Yes, 100%. So I want to talk about the girls now. So we talked quite a bit about the dads, the men and the boys. Talk to me about the girls, because I know you counsel quite a a lot of girls, young girls as well. Tell us what sort of things that you talk to them about and why you talk to them about it.
So one of the things that I love to speak to girls is from the perspective of being a father of girls. And more importantly, I was born by a girl. I'm also a brother to girls. So one of the things that we tell girls is we try to raise their self-esteem. And one of the things that I tell girls is you are so important that a girl like you took care of me for 9 months, breastfed me for 2 years or more. So when you share such, you are elevating the self-esteem of a girl for that girl to see herself as important. That it is through me that Koech is doing what she's doing because she was brought up by a girl like me. And number two, and in the context of Kenya, sometimes you find a situation whereby girls are entering into puberty without information about periods. There is stigma and there is shame. And I remember in 2019 here in Kenya, and if you can Google it, we were in the news for bad reasons. A girl here in Kenya committed suicide because she felt ashamed when she started menstruating in class.
Oh, how sad is that?
And now she was not aware about it. She was, no one has told her about it. And now when these things came, and you know, I normally say menstruation, you don't postpone.
Yes.
And when time comes, it has come. So that is what we decided that we need to talk to these girls. And I love it when I speak from a perspective of a man, because I tell them, I want to talk about menstruation, though I don't menstruate. And I tell them, I'm talking about menstruation because my wife menstruates. My daughter, though she has not started, I know she will start very soon to menstruate. So as a father, how can I be a good father if I do not learn and oppress myself with what menstruation is all about?
I love that.
And number three, Sandra, we have a surge, and especially in teenage pregnancies. So we tell these girls that to differentiate between love and infatuation, trying to guide them around sexuality, and especially during adolescence. Let not a man give you sanitary pads in exchange for sex. Yeah, we tell them no.
So is that what's been happening?
Yes. You find a girl, she doesn't have sanitary towels. And now, you know, at that point, she's vulnerable.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, so people, men, for example, will take advantage. I give you this, scratch my back, I scratch yours.
And what kind of age group are we talking about when we're talking about these girls?
These are girls, especially those who have started menstruating 10, 11, 12 up to 13. Especially those who are coming from humble backgrounds. Those are the most disadvantaged.
Right. And I take it that's the areas that you try and do more of your talks to, where, you know, to the disadvantaged areas where it's needed. And it sounds like you're doing quite a good job, because I believe when we spoke, you had, was it 500 girls?
700 girls.
Oh, it's 700 girls you're talking to about menstruation and sex and all the things related around puberty.
Yeah.
Basically. I love that. That is such a good cause. So in terms of you as a dad, I mean, how old are your girls?
My girl is turning 12 this year. She's now 11.
So one girl is 11 and the other one is?
The other one is 2.5 years.
Oh, 2.5 years. Okay, we could give her some time. So I guess you, as a dad, and you're doing all these things for the community, you would have had those sort of conversations with your daughter already.
I want to give you something that happened 2 weeks ago.
Okay, go ahead.
My daughter was joining, we call in Kenya grade 7. And now, because she was joining another class, she was supposed to be a boarder, to be staying in school. She's not going and coming.
Okay. Oh, boarded.
Yes. So I remember we went for shopping, and one of the items which I ensured that she got it, even though she was not to use it immediately, was sanitary towels. And I remember I made it intentional for me to be the one to pick from the shelves. And I told Angela, she's called Angela, do you know the purpose of this? She told me, yes. Have you started juicing? She said, I'm yet to. That was great.
I love it. How did she react to that? Did she feel confident? Was she embarrassed? Was she shy? How was she? Her reactions?
Her reaction was not of embarrassment because she has seen me having sanitary towels at home, packing it in my car as I go to schools.
Okay.
Yes. And also sometimes there was an event that we did it within our home state. So we call adolescent girls from our neighborhood and we ensure we give them sanitary towels. So I remember she was part of the people who were distributing the sanitary towels.
Okay. How lovely though, you know, getting her, number one, involved in the community. Number two, it's making her more aware that this is what girls do. Other people are doing it. It's not just her. Because there's a lot of times where children feel it's just them and they don't understand it's a part of a process. And it's other girls it's happening to or other boys, depending on what the situation is. They always think it's just them. But I love that. I love the way that you have that connection with your daughter, number one, to talk about menstruation, to talk about the pads that's on the shelf and everything. So yeah, I absolutely love that. So where does your wife fit into all of this talking then, into your conversations about menstruation and the girls? What's your opinion from your wife?
At the beginning, she was not comfortable. Yeah, especially because myself, when I talk about this thing, I call it as it is.
Yes.
So that if a girl messes up, at least I'll not say, I wish I told her. Yeah, so, but now she has no choice because this is my way of doing things. She may not be like me and I may not be like her, but we complement each other.
100%, love that. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? And your son, how old is your son?
8, he'll be turning 8 this year.
And that's interesting because him at that age, I'm assuming he's hearing the talks that you're giving to the girls as well. And what kind of conversations have you had as a dad to your son?
So we, as Daddy Saturday, I told you I'm running an organization called Daddy Saturday Kenya. And one of our target population is boys.
Yes.
And we say more is caught than taught. So in other words, my son is learning from me. So if I'm to model love and respect for women around me, my son is watching me, how I handle or I carry myself around my wife.
Yes.
So one of the things that I tell my son is, apart from modeling that behavior that I want him to emulate for me, I tell them that your strength is not for hurting. Yeah. So I tell my boy that God has given us as men the strength.
Yes.
And it should not be to hurt the other person, but for protecting the other person.
Oh, I love that. Oh my gosh, you're dropping some gems there. Love that, Coach. Love, absolutely love that. And I probably wouldn't have put it like that. I couldn't have put it better myself, really. Absolutely love that.
But more importantly, Sandra, the greatest of all, and if there is something that I want to do for my son, as long as I am alive, is to inculcate in myself a behavior and way of doing things that I want when I will be old to see my son doing the same.
Yes, and feel proud. I love that. Coach, it's been so great talking to you. Oh my goodness. If anybody else listening hasn't learned anything, they haven't been listening to this podcast because I've learned a lot in the short space of time. So I want to thank you for coming on. And is there anything, one last thing you'd like to say to the listeners out there as a dad?
So as a father, fatherhood do not have a substitute. As a father, do your work well so that you will not regret. And more importantly, we say that children gravitate to what they know. So if you are a father and you are raising daughters, remember, daughters marry their fathers. Do your work. And as a father, lastly, you don't have to be perfect. I'm a man of weakness, but what I want to aim is be present. Don't be perfect, be present.
Love that, Coach. And where can people get hold of you if they'd like to know more about what you do in your country, Kenya?
I'm on Facebook. I think social media, I'm very active on Facebook. I'm also on LinkedIn. Maybe even as you will be sharing this podcast, maybe you can tag me in so that the viewers can get to know me more.
Oh, absolutely. I'll put a couple of your details down in the show notes below so people can just click on it and arrive at your page. So thank you so much, Coach, again. And I want to thank the listeners for listening. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and keep on listening. Take care. Bye-bye.